Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamut. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin, and it's Friday, which means that I get to hang out with this awesome group of people. I know it probably sounds like a broken record. Kids, ask your parents what a record is. But it's true. I genuinely look forward to hanging out with all of you on Fridays. Chuck, how are you?
I am great, Jeff. I'm so glad we still get to do this. We had a little schedule hiccup here, but we're all here and that it makes my Friday.
Mine too. When Chuck says scheduled hiccup, that's the nice way of saying we had to shift the show an hour later this week because my schedule got messed up.
That's okay. After already having to shift the show an hour because of the difference in daylight savings time.
Well, that's true. I mean, for you at least. I was actually quite happy that we had an extra hour because I really needed that today.
Well, you're welcome.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah. But you know, it's also important for folks to know that we actually all have other lives. I mean, it's hard to believe, but we do. We don't just sit in these little boxes all the time.
Chuck,
well,
it's 95%
of how kind of my world is today. I'm just sitting here in a little box all
little
day.
Box.
I mean, kind of. I work from home, so yeah, this is kind of my box that I sit in most day.
Well, I'm doing the same, Patrice. I was thinking about the little box here that's just, you know, around this, not the big box that I'm in, but
well, I'm on camera all day, so
yeah. So, Chuck, what I'm hearing is that this is a nesting Chuck box.
You could look at it that way. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a Chuck within Chuck.
Yeah, I kind of like that. I kind of like that.
Chuckception.
Every time you open another Chuck box, you get another surprise.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
I'm imagining surprises right now.
Oh.
The show is off the rails already.
You should have been here yesterday.
What rails?
Yeah.
It's the future. Where we're going, we don't need rails.
Mm-hmm.
Good thing, because clearly we have none. Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's been a bit of a random day. I heard yesterday or last night that I'm flying to Germany on Monday, or was flying to Germany on Monday. Well, two big unions in Germany decided to go on strike on Monday. So all the trains and I think also almost all flights are canceled. So I was like, okay. I wanted to go actually have a bigger meetup with the team in Germany. So, okay, what do we do? I had to rebook everything and so on. But I'm going on Sunday, so it's fine.
Well,
just have one day left to get ready. So there's that.
Yeah, there's that. But hopefully you'll have a good trip.
No, it'll be fine. It'll be fun. Like meeting up with people, and yeah, I'll be there 3 days. Three, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Actually, 4 days now. We'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Tomorrow I have a full day in Vienna planned. We're going to the chocolate museum. So
fun.
That's gonna be fun. I organized a meetup, and I don't know how many people will show up, like 5 or so, 10, something like that. It's gonna be cool. Yeah, just
awesome.
Bought a lot of time.
Awesome.
Like I was planning on, okay, I'll go like Friday, I'll relax, and then Saturday I go to Vienna, and then I have Sunday to relax and pack and leave on Monday, like noonish. Yeah, okay. That plan is out of the window. So yeah, but it will be fine. I'm okay. My company credit card came in just in time, so all good.
It's all good then. Yeah, once you have the company credit card, it totally changes perspective on
it to some extent. Agent. Does it does. It's harder to. I mean, I know from an American perspective, where like credit cards are just everywhere. That sounds crazy, but company credit cards are a bigger deal here because, I had to go through quite a bit of a process to get it approved, like all the way up to the CEO, basically, here in Austria, like for the Austrian side. Yeah, and like in the US, we were like, oh, you need a credit card. Yeah, like, fine. Normal.
Right. And it just shows up in your mail like 3 days later.
Exactly. I remember that this, like, when I moved, the discussion was like, oh, yeah, you need a credit card, like, whatever. What limit do we need? Let's do like $20K.
Million dollars.
That would have been nice. No, they did like 15. I think it was like 15K or something. It's like, huh. Like two trips to Germany a month, something like that. I think that's what they planned. Not a big deal. Here, the discussion was a little bit more complicated. But I got it. Yeah, it makes sense because I'm traveling quite a bit.
It does make sense. Yep.
Yeah. So as I said, it's all good. All going to work out. The weather is nice. It rained a little bit earlier, but then the sun came out. So I'm happy.
Nice. Nice. And Ben, how are you?
I am great, Jeff.
Excellent.
You're always great.
Oh, well, yeah.
And as usual, you look sharp.
Well, someone's got it.
That's true.
Sure.
I mean, we have Patrice. She always looks sharp. and now you always look sharp, too. And I keep saying I need to step up my wardrobe game.
I think you do, Jeff.
Look, I put on a clean t-shirt. Oh, it's a rich, inspired t-shirt.
Oh, be careful.
Oh.
Oh.
Nice. So, yes, I saw Rich wearing this shirt and bought it.
Yeah, for the people listening, it's basically the, like,
The Picard face palm.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I always said Patrick Stewart for some reason.
It still would have been appropriate.
The Patrick Stewart
yeah,
face
palm. That works.
So the backstory on me having this shirt is that a couple weeks ago on The Big Show, Rich was wearing this very shirt. And I loved it so much that I went and found it and bought it. Hmm. So... yeah. Look, if it's good enough for Rich, then it's got to be really nice. So this is, in a way, stepping up my wardrobe game.
You need a longer shot, Jeff, so we can appreciate your wardrobe game.
Oh, all right. I'll stand back up again. But hold on. I have to bring the Zoom window in front so I can tell when I'm in frame.
I mean, you had... No.
Need to step back.
Push back, I meant.
Oh, I can't because I have wired headphones. That's as far as I can go.
Oh, okay.
Jeff, you need one of these. It's an extension cord for headphones.
You know,
or a pair of these.
I can.
I do have. Look at that.
I can walk all the way back to the wall, basically.
I do have one of those. It's in a travel bag because it's part of my my conference setup so that I can interview people at conferences.
Yeah. Buy another one. Yeah. $5. $5 on Amazon.
I could have it. I could order it on Amazon for delivery today so it can be stolen off my porch later this afternoon.
Oh, by the trash pandas.
Yeah. So, okay, get this. Today is what, Friday? So on Wednesday, I ordered a couple things from Amazon. One of the two things was an 8-pack of rechargeable batteries because I'm a big fan of Eneloop rechargeable batteries. Mm-hmm. And some of mine are, I don't know, 15 years old easily.
Mm-hmm. They last forever.
Yeah. And yeah, so I have a handful that are failing now. And so I'm guessing those are probably like 20 years old. So I thought, I'll just get another pack. So it was part of this order. So ordered it on Wednesday evening, it shows up. I open up the package and it had been mispacked because the batteries weren't in there. And it's obvious that it hadn't been opened at any point. There was no damage to the package. They just hadn't been put in. So I do the thing on Amazon to let them know, hey, part of the shipment didn't show up. And they send the automated message saying that part will show up tomorrow, meaning yesterday. And so they reship the batteries. And I'm recording in touch with iOS last night. I get the alert that the package has been delivered. We finish the show. I go downstairs, open up the door, and it's gone. So it hadn't even been there 45 minutes, and it was gone.
Okay. Either that or it never was even delivered.
It was delivered. I even have the photo of it on my porch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's Amazon's gotten really smart about that, that they send you that photo like, yes, it was there. So you can't fight back on that.
Well, I mean, unless, that doesn't help you, Jeff, they, but, you know. Yeah, unless they take a photo of a completely different door, which happened to me. Where it was not my door. I don't know where you delivered it.
And that's where then it works in reverse for them, because now that you can send them a photo of your door and say, this doesn't match, you delivered it to the wrong place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so, in that case, it turned out they just delivered to a different door in the same apartment building. So,
you need to paint on it Jeff's door, Patrice's door, and then
that's exactly what we need.
That's an idea.
Yeah. So, anyhow, all right, I'm done ranting about porch pirates for the moment.
Yeah, it's really interesting that that is less of an issue here. I don't know why that is. It's not that it's not an issue, but it's less of an issue.
Yeah, it's...
It's strange. But, I mean, it's also not so common here that stuff just gets dropped off, to be honest. They usually still ring the bell and, want you to take it. So, I don't know. Difference in culture, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, as I said, it's not that it doesn't happen. It's just not so common. I mean, in the US, it's all the time. I remember I had multiple packages stolen.
This is the first package that I've had that's been stolen. However, I was chatting with my neighbors last night and all of them said, oh yeah, I've had packages stolen. And then I asked them if they had filed police reports. Nobody and everyone did. Was shocked. Hadn't even occurred to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't.
Well, I did.
I should have probably. But yeah, I mean, there's one thing. Here we have what do you call that? Electronic lockboxes. So if they can't, if they can't deliver it to you, it depends. It depends a little bit on the service, but a lot of them will drop it off at one of those boxes and you can just go there and pick it up 24/7. You just get a QR code, you go to that thing, scan it, and it opens the thing. So that's actually quite nice.
Yeah. We have those too, Patrice, and I've never used one, although there are times I've been sort of tempted. It's just to try it out for something that I don't really need, that it'll come when it comes. But yeah, I know a lot of people that I know have used that because of this issue.
Yeah. I mean, I've had I ordered coffee beans and I think I was traveling or something. And they showed up a day or two. Usually I know, okay, I'll order it this day and then it will show up that day. And for some reason it was a day early or two. And it just sat there for 2 days. It's not a big deal.
Hmm.
Yeah. And then even at midnight, you can still go there, pick it up and you have it. So that's quite common here. And I think I really like that.
Yeah, with Whole Foods relatively nearby.
Oh, yeah. They have that, the Amazon thing, right?
Yeah. And yeah, I have used the pickup boxes from Amazon at Whole Foods. And they actually own a chain... Or a store. I don't know. Maybe it's, I guess there's more than one. And it's called Ideal Market. So it's a local grocery store. And it's wholly owned now, has been for years, by Whole Foods or Amazon. And So they have the whole Amazon Dropbox thing, and they have a little kiosk for doing returns. And it, I mean, it's really handy. And I have used the delivery boxes there before. You know, like, I know something's going to show up at a specific time, and it just works out that it's more convenient for me to pick it up as opposed to have it dropped off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that is one of the downsides. Like, I mean, for sure, it is more convenient if you're at home or something. It just shows up at your place and you just get it. Mm-hmm. But if you're not, or if you have to like leave for something, yeah, you still have to go to a place to get it. So I totally understand that it's not always convenient. But the thing where it's just dropped off in front of your door, and it might be sitting there for like 2 days if you're out.
Oh yeah,
that doesn't.
Yeah, if I'm ordering something for delivery from Amazon, and I'm out of town, I always have it sent to the pickup boxes, mm-hmm. and then I go get it when I get home. So anyhow, well, hopefully my peanut butter from PB Love that's showing up today doesn't get stolen off the porch.
Oh, I'll come and steal that.
Oh, yeah. And I wouldn't blame you, Ben, because this is the best peanut butter I've ever had. It's wonderful. And they do ship. So, you know, my favorite is.
Do they ship to Austria?
I don't know. They might. I do I think it's the slightly salty. So what they call it, it's the blue label peanut butter. So it's, they add a little bit of salt to it and a little bit of honey, and that's it. So it's peanuts, a little bit of salt, a little bit of honey.
Thanks.
And it's wonderful peanut butter. So anyhow,
have we
Bob Beach
Chuck
has shown
yet?
Up, I'm sorry, I just talked right over you, Ben.
Have we even introduced Chuck yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, we started
for like 20 minutes in. Have we
introduced Chuck? I was first.
Yeah. But you know, I was waiting for Bob Beach to show up, and he's here. So now we can do some stories. Bob, didn't want you to miss out on anything. So let's start with Apple getting ready to drop $1 billion a year on releasing movies in theaters.
And Bob, think of this as your own private screening of this show.
Right? You know.
So, like AMC, that'll be $27 plus popcorn.
And the popcorn is another 50.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, okay. And here we go right off the rails. The prices at movie theaters are so frustrating. Yet at the same time, I totally get it. Your movie ticket costs so much because the studios are charging so much to the theaters, and the movie you pay, or the price you pay for a movie ticket, almost all of that money goes to the studios. The movie theater does not make money off of you watching movies. It's the concessions, which is why they have to be so expensive, because they are selling popcorn to actually have a building where they can show movies. And
which is insane.
It's absolutely insane that it has to be that way. Anyhow. So yes, Bloomberg and the link I dropped in is the MacRumors link, because there's no paywalls with MacRumors. Anyhow, so Bloomberg is reporting that Apple is increasing the amount of money they're spending on getting their movies into theaters. So it'll now be $1 billion a year. Mm-hmm. And what I'm seeing reaction-wise from some people is, that's crazy. Why would they spend that kind of money?
Oh, that's not a whole lot of money in Hollywood.
No.
Yeah, only $1 billion a year. Apple's actually being kind of frugal about this.
I mean, that's like one or two releases for a decent theatrical movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's not that they have not been doing that all along, because I mean, if you want to be a contender for especially the Academy Award, But I think even for some others, you need at least some theatrical release. I don't think there's some weird arcane rules about how many movie theaters and how long and all of that. And I think all the streaming services kind of have figured out ways to, I don't know, run it for a day somewhere and then they're in basically the ticket. But I think, I mean, there is totally a place for movies and movie theaters. I mean, we all watch most of the things at home, and I think that's totally fine. I really enjoy it. But there is something to that experience. Yes, the expensive popcorn and the people like three rows in front of you, like eating really loudly and all of that. There is something to that experience that makes it terrible. Better or more interesting. It is terrible, but it's still really enjoyable. I don't know what it is, but I really enjoy doing it. I do it once a year and I still enjoy it.
Patrice, I think what you're looking for is the communal thing. I mean, the one thing about going to a theater is you are there, well, except for the people talking loudly and, you know, and eating, but, you know, you're there for a specific purpose. And so for once, you're not, you know, you're not looking at your phone because, of course, that's verboten in, you know, in theaters, but your attention is not distracted and you've got a screen, you know, the size of a wall, a big wall right in front of you that you can't really look around or, you know, and the lights are out. And so you've only got one thing to look at and that's the movie.
Yeah. And so, you can't like pause it in between because like two of your friends have to go to the bathroom or something like that. And then everything gets interrupted and you start like 15 minutes later again, like all of that can't happen simply.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Yeah, I'm always a little surprised, sort of to Jeff's point earlier that really is not on point here, but I'll mention anyway, that, you know, with the concessions, I still think that if some theaters would up their game on concessions and not just up the prices, but, you know, make really good food. There are a couple theaters around here like that. There's a small chain that, you know, has basically, you know, waiters and waitresses, you know, bringing you place an order and they bring you, and it's good food. Mm-hmm. And so
that's the point. I mean, AMC has terrible food, but they do that in some theaters.
Oh, really? Okay. The AMCs around here don't, but you know, it could be a whole, you know, that to me is a reason. If you had really good food, it would be a reason to go to a theater a little more,
but I would totally do that. Like, go like and have like a restaurant level experience and a movie. Like that would be awesome. Or like a bar or something.
Yeah. Before the pandemic, a lot of chains were investing in those premium experience type theaters. But I mean, for me, Apple doing this says two things. Number one, they're bigger budget movies are doing well, very well on Apple TV. Two, Apple TV has been doing well enough where Apple wants to increase its notoriety as an entertainment company.
And this is one way.
And I will add to that, they are probably, they've run a lot of numbers, and investing $1 billion for big theatrical releases, wider releases than they've been doing so far, will probably have a financial benefit for them as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. I mean, they will make that money back somehow. But I mean, even if not, like, what is $1 billion for Apple? It's like a day and a half of revenue.
Would anybody agree or disagree with me that this is potentially going to open up some of these movies to people that would not see them on Apple TV because they wouldn't subscribe or wouldn't think to? Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, it's, you know, by eventually having them or concurrently having them on Apple TV, they're going to reach people that would never go to the theater to see them. So, you know, this seems like a good way to produce a product and then have two different channels of delivery that, you know, maybe produce either revenue or awareness of the other or, you know, I mean, it just seems like there's a potential win-win-win across the board here for Apple and for the audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they're definitely looking for sales conversions by getting these on the big screen for Apple TV Plus.
Yeah, but, I mean, that totally makes sense. I mean, like, I don't, like, Netflix doesn't have to do that. Like, even your grandma probably has heard of Netflix because it was in the news somewhere, like, at some point. But Apple TV Plus, I mean, I don't even know if they know who Apple is, but Apple TV Plus, like, I mean, most people haven't heard of it at all.
Yeah, and the other thing with Apple, they aren't like Netflix who throw everything against the wall to see what sticks. Mm-hmm. Apple is very selective with their catalog.
Doesn't mean that everything is great.
Well, it doesn't mean that everything is great, but this is kind of like a look at the quality of the product that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And not just that, but this is also a way to build awareness of the back catalog that they are slowly building.
Yes.
Because it's not like an Apple movie or an Apple TV series, you're not going to be able to see that come and go from Netflix or HBO or, you know, wherever. There's going to be one place. If you love that movie or you love that series, there's one place to go get it. In fact, somebody correct me. Has Apple ever released any of the movies for purchase? I've never looked, but on through either the store or on DVD or anything. I don't think so.
That's a good question.
I think they did it on DVD.
Yeah.
I thought there have been a couple movies where they did that. Didn't Greyhound get released for purchase as well?
I don't remember.
That's possible. Well, let me see. That may have been, though. I mean, that was just sort of a whole weird situation. Because of the pandemic.
That's true.
It's a movie that Apple bought distribution rights for, so the studio may have retained
physical distribution rights.
It is available on holy cow,
they're pretty proud of that movie, aren't they?
Wow. Well, it's $13.50 here. One of the Amazon ads that pops up says it's $13.50. Another one says it's $53.94. I don't know what the heck that is.
That's the one where Tom Hanks brings it to you.
Apparently so.
No, that's 54,000 maybe.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe available at lower price from other sellers. Yes, I bet it is.
Oh, shit.
But you do get Prime delivery on that.
Well, there you go.
But I would like to indulge in one crackpot theory about this.
Oh, please do.
I mean, Tim Cook has been CEO of Apple for a while. He's cemented an unmistakable legacy.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, the performance of the entertainment side of Apple and services has to put Eddie Q at least in the discussion as a successor.
Interesting idea. Yeah.
I don't think one has to do a lot to do with the other, but yeah. But I mean, like, the thing is, caring about artists and caring about the industry around them is something that is very deep in Apple's DNA because of Steve Jobs, mostly because he cared about the music industry, like, way before they did the iPod. From everything we've seen and heard, he was very, like, deep in like, music and stuff like that. He really cared about certain artists and certain songs and wanted to support them and all of that. And that's kind of in Apple's DNA to this day, I mean, with Apple Music and so on. They really do care. I mean, sure, there's a business to run, but they do care about the artistry around it and the businesses around it. And I think that's true for this year as well. I mean, we've heard it from actors and producers that Apple seems to care really about their vision and their, like, what they're doing, the creativity. Apple is a very creative company, I think, to this day. Some people might argue about that, but I think it still is very much so. And so this kind of fits with that. And maybe that's the other side of it. Yes, it makes probably financial sense. It probably makes business sense. It makes marketing sense. But I think it's also to support the, like, support the theaters and support the artists and get that in more people's hands and show their creations to more people.
Mm-hmm.
So let me give you an update. And looking at this, it looks like it is. The DVD is available for $53.94 on Amazon. The $13.50 is the novel version. It does not look like there is a DVD. There are several of them on, that are showing up on eBay as used, and they're in what you would think of as more a reasonable DVD price. But they want $53.94 for that on DVD.
Is Tom Hanks going to deliver it to us?
I don't know. I mean, you know, you have to wonder, okay, so the studio retained distribution rights, but did, you know, who set the pricing? Or did Apple insist that, yeah, you can do it, but you're going to charge an outrageous amount? I mean, it was a good movie, but I'm not sure I care to own it for $53.94.
Well, I mean, there's one thing about stuff like that. At some point, like, the prices we're used to are, I mean, to some extent also because it, like, if you sell something to whatever, 50 million people, then the cost of producing that physical media is quite low. But if it's only, I don't know, 1,000 people buying it, it's probably the other extreme, then the cost is quite high because you have to, yeah. But the machines don't get cheaper that he is. So that might be also a part of that, that it's not so many people buying it, so the price is a little bit higher.
I don't know. I was trying to think of another popular recent, relatively recent movie. And the only thing that for no Coda. Good reason came to what?
Coda. Academy Award winning. And it was in the theaters.
Okay, hold on.
Well, of course, see. It was in the theaters. Can't win an Academy Award without that.
Exactly. It was Coda. It was in some theaters, we should say.
Yes.
Some theaters somewhere.
Coda is on DVD for $14.99. And it is available on Prime Video.
There you go.
Is this the one with Patrick Stewart? That's the one you're talking about, Jeff? Or is there an...
No, this code is the one about the deaf family.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Yeah.
You definitely cannot buy it. Doesn't look like you can buy it on like iTunes.
Yeah, and there's a movie with Patrick Stewart and who else is in this? Katie Holmes from 2020. That's the one that was showing up. Yeah, so there you go. But, you know, so maybe we just answered our own question. Literally, the only place you can go to get this is Apple TV.
Yeah. I mean, which makes sense. Why is Netflix keeping its content exclusive for the most part? Why is HBO keeping its content exclusive? They want people to go there and subscribe.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Like,
makes
if you
sense.
Can get it somewhere else, you might not.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
interesting.
We should probably talk about at least one more story before we get into cool things. So here's another one. I just had to pick this one because it to me, if it wasn't real, I would assume it was a ridiculous plot point in a movie. The DEA used an AirTag to track a narcotics shipment. So this piece is from Apple Insider from our friend Andrew Orr.
Nice.
Yeah, so in May 2022, border agents seized two packages from Shanghai, China. And so there was a pill press and some pill dyes. And they the DEA thought that these are being sent to a narcotics producer, illegal narcotics producer. And so they threw an AirTag in and tracked where the equipment was going with the AirTag and became part of their investigation. So here's my take. Why in the world would you use something to track evidence, potential evidence in a criminal investigation where the tracking device can alert the people that are around it that there's a tracker nearby? Because an AirTag, well, if it's not yours, you can eventually alert you on your iPhone and with an Android app that there's a tracker that's not yours, that's with you.
Well, I can come up with multiple reasons why you would want to do that. Like, if it gets found, because it's a commercial thing that people have, like, mm-hmm. someone might just think, well, it's just, I don't know, someone, like, it just, fell in, forgot something. Maybe they stole the bag, who knows? So they might just think, okay, that was like some random person's AirTag, and that's fine. If it was like a commercial tracker or like a whatever the police is using for that thing, that might be more suspicious, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe they don't have Android or even like iPhones with them, so they wouldn't even know.
Or you're just dealing with dumb people, dumb criminals.
Yes. Yeah, that's probably that anyway.
You know, yeah, I mean, how many of them would think that the law enforcement community would have the audacity to use something like an AirTag?
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, someone's probably smart, but.
Yeah. Okay. So the idea that an AirTag would be used as part of a criminal investigation for tracking, it sounds to me like something out of a movie, not like real life, because we know
what show is that? Narcos?
Chuck.
Chuck. Chuck. That is true, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be something they would have done.
Yeah, that's something they would have done, yes. Yeah. And actually, I could see someone doing that in Barry as well. You know, throw an AirTag into the bag of the person that you have a hit on. Sure. Yeah. Anyhow,
that's a good idea. I'm gonna have to think about that for my next hit.
Yeah, you're welcome. I now get a commission.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so I'm assuming that agencies like the DEA have access to serious espionage equipment. Yeah, where you can have a tracker that gives you accurate information and is concealable in a way where the likelihood of your suspects finding the device is pretty low. And if they don't have something...
No, but not impossible, right?
Right. But it seems to me to be easier to find an AirTag than something like that. Now, the other side of that is, what if an AirTag is actually better technology than what they are using? And that's actually kind of crazy.
But that's also possible.
I think... Patrice, I'd go farther. I think it's probable just because of the network that is supporting the tracking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could use like a GPS tracker or something, but that is, probably not as good.
Yeah. I mean, not only that, but the government issue spy trackers tend to be relatively expensive because the manufacturers know their market. Well, the agents can go to the nearest Walmart or Best Buy, pick up a bunch of AirTags for
four-pack, $400.
Yeah, right. Which is nothing in a government budget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as I said, and if it gets found, I mean, it doesn't look like it's something the DEA would be using. So,
but The other thing is, think about how many times that you see a police car parked along the side of the road and you slow down. Not because you're going to be pulled, not because they're pulling you over, but because, okay, so same thing here. If the AirTag gets found, now the bad guys know they're under surveillance, and you know that may become a deterrent. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe I'm just doing a Pollyanna on this, but you know, at the very least, they're going to know, hey, we're being paid more attention to, so we either have to up our game or curtail our activities.
It's possible.
I'm trying to understand the criminal mind.
I would send one of my little stooges out after we find the tag. I'd send them out with the tag and find someone else to plant it on. And
the competition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, we just talked about it. Maybe not as smart. Maybe they were just like, oh, there's an AirTag. How funny. What was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. In this case, I don't think they ever knew they had the AirTag on them.
They do now.
Yeah. I mean, they are quite small. So like it's not a big thing that it gets easily. I think that's the other part. It is quite small and quite like easy to like conceal. So I think that helps.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for better or worse. You know, because of this publicity now, the bad guys are going to probably be a bit more careful you know, scanning for AirTags. So, you know.
At least the smart ones.
Thank you very much, Apple Insider.
Yeah.
But I mean, on the other hand, the really smart bad guys probably already did. Because this is kind of obvious, right? Anything that can be used to like track things could be used also in something like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair point.
Yeah. So, I guess the point or the moral is, if you're a bad guy, look for air tags that aren't yours, and if you're a good guy, use TSO hosts because they're that awesome,
and they won't track you.
Wow. Wow.
Oh my god.
It just makes sense to me. And the reason it makes sense is because TSO hosts is really good at what they do, and they're not trying to hide it, unlike the DEA. What they do is they offer web hosting services and domain purchase services, and they have great support. And what they're doing is leveraging what they do so well, so that we can do what we do, which is crank out shows for you every single week. And they're giving us the bandwidth we need so we can live stream content to you, shows every single week. It takes a lot to make that happen. And without TSO host support, we would not be able to do what we're doing. And that is not hyperbole. Now, the other thing they're doing is giving us the hosting space we need so that there's a place for the BTN website to live and for all of the show recordings to live. So that you can watch or listen to your favorite episodes over and over again anytime you want. And we really, really appreciate the generosity that they're showing to us and the support that they are giving us. Now, all we need to do is just go on social media and thank them. That's all we need to do. Just give them a little bit of online love and thank them for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. If you need to have a place to host a website or you're ready to buy a domain name, well, then they can help you with that too. Just go and pick out your domain name, add your hosting, whatever to your cart, and then use the discount code BTN20 and you will get a 20% discount on your order. So thank you, TSO hosts, for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. Patrice, I see that you are chatting with people in the live chat. Where can people find that?
Yeah, I am indeed talking to some awesome people in the chat room, and you could be doing that too. If you want to do that, you have to join our live stream. We record live the Mac Show Fridays, usually at 4 p.m. UK time, but keep an eye on our social medias and on our Slack room and other places. There's also a calendar on bridgetechnetwork.com, because sometimes, like today, we have to push the show times around a little bit to make it work with our schedules. It doesn't happen very often, but it does happen. And yeah, so keep an eye on that. And then you head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com to join our live stream, our live chat. It's very easy. Like, a lot of fun, a lot of awesome people in there. You see all the links as they're posted, as we're talking about the news stories, the cool things, all of that. And yeah, it's just an awesome place to be. By the way, if you are into the non-Apple side of things like Android, Windows, car technology, space, anything other than Apple, we have the big show. Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time. There's also a chat for that in the live stream. So you can join that. Like, you don't have to be into the Apple side of things. But let's say you are listening to this after the fact in your favorite podcast player of choice, so the recorded version, audio or video. Yeah, you can't join the live stream because, yeah, that just doesn't work that way. Like, a recorded podcast doesn't have a live stream, a live chat. I'm sorry. You can still get to, like, you can see everything that was talked about in the chat. You can see all the cool links and the cool things and everything. And all you have to do for that is head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then you have to select, this little calendar pops up, and you have to select today's date as we are recording this, which is the 24th of March, 2023. March 24th, 2023. And then you will see everything that was talked about.
Awesome. Thank you. And Patrice, while you were telling everyone about the live chat, the live chat was carrying on. And what we established is that there's at least one panel member who is fun and exciting, and that would be you.
Not me.
Okay.
Not me either.
Good that we established that.
Yeah, so that is established now.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's that canon. Means it's time for cool things. So who has the first cool thing?
Well, I think if nobody put one in, I will go first since it's strangely relevant this week.
Oh, it's an AirTag.
Yes. Well, it's the guy whose AirTag you don't want in your bag.
Yeah, right.
Baba Yaga.
So tell us about John Wick.
Yes. So once upon a time, some idiot stole the world's best hitman's dog. And after that, about 3,000 on-screen people died. Because people kept being idiots.
Never steal Keanu's dog.
Exactly. Yes. So there have been three chapters of the story. And they're like, John Wick hasn't killed enough people. Let's make more. So this weekend, John Wick Chapter 4 is out. He will be better dressed than I am, but he'll have a lot more guns.
No, you're better dressed than him.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
Oh yeah, now, me too. To watch Keanu Reeves like kick ass.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I really enjoy the John Wick movies.
Yeah.
And since the pandemic started, I haven't been to movie theaters, and I don't see that changing. So I will have to wait for this to come out on streaming. And then I will watch it.
No, I might watch that when I'm back.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jeff. This is I'm not a huge Keanu Reeves fan. I mean, he's okay, but this is like one of those roles that he was born to play. It just
he's
it,
more
he's,
than okay.
He's so well. He's so I don't know what's like I don't know what the exact word is, but it's no testosterone driven kind of crazy thing. It's just very matter of fact. This is what I do, and I do it well, and so I'm going to do it.
And he does. What I really liked about the movies, it's not the typical action flick where there is basically no story. Like it like the things he's doing begrudgingly, very believable. There is an actual backstory and there's an actual story and an actual point to what he's doing, and not just, okay, let's kill some people. I really like that.
Yeah, and Keanu Reeves is like the nicest guy in the world. So, how can you not watch movies that he's in?
I agree.
Yep. Awesome. Good pick. Okay, so Patrice, I have a feeling you're about to give us some show and tell with your cool thing.
Yeah, I do, because I bought this last week on the show. Actually, I didn't buy this exact bag because I bought actually another one that's somewhere there that I'm sending back. So another Tom Talk bag. This one is a laptop shoulder bag. It's the H22. I was really surprised. Like it is quite small and compact, but I needed something that I can like. I'm going to be on a plane and all of that, and I can just take my laptops with me. It's not the biggest bag in the world, but I was actually quite surprised. I got like I pre-packed for next week, and I got like all the bits and pieces in that I need. So it has like on the back, it has a little strap thing, so you can strap it to the handle of your suitcase.
Nice.
So that was one of the things. That's why I sent back. I ordered another one, the H21, which is also very nice, but it didn't have that, and I wanted that, so I changed my mind. So it has that. It has like a little space back here. We can put some other bits and pieces. Inside is nice and like soft and reasonably protected. So what was surprising, they say this is for the 14-inch MacBook Pro. I put like a big ass case on my work MacBook Pro that protects all the edges and whatever. It is quite bulky, and it still fits.
Oh, okay.
So there's more than enough space in here. So yeah. And then there's a little space front here. We can put in your whatever your you can see that wallet, iPhone, whatever. And then all the way in the front, behind that zipper, I have like my little bag with the like all the adapters and the charging cable and the charging brick, and there's even more space. So I'm gonna cram some stuff in there. Like another charging cable probably.
Yeah. So just think of all the guns space. John Wick could fit in there.
Oh, probably like 10 and ammo. No, it is really I like the color. The material is like polyester, I would say, or something. Like it's water repellent, which is important when you're like walking around and like might be raining. The straps are really nice leather, quite sturdy. So it's nothing is flimsy about them. It's like $50, I think, or 50 something.
$49.99.
Okay, so 50. As I said, I was surprised how small it is, which is a big plus for me. It's not too bulky, and how much I can still get into that.
That's really cool. Patrice, the price I laughed at, because on their website, price $49.99, paying 4 interest-free installments with orders over $50.
Okay. You can get it on Amazon. Like, I put the link to their website, but if you go to Amazon, you'll also find it there. I ordered through Amazon too.
Awesome. Yeah,
but this is the international version, so you can get it no matter where you are. Yeah. Cool. So highly recommend that. It has, by the way, also a magnet back here. Really nice.
Nice.
Yeah, so this is going to go with me next week.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, Chuck, that means now it is your turn.
So I'm not going to cost you any money this week, Jeff.
That's kind of crazy, but okay.
Yeah, you can try this out for free. I have been searching for a long time trying to find an application that does just what this does. And that is, let me put up on my screen in an app so that it can move to the back or move to the front, sort of a list of my projects with some notes, you know, about what the status of each one is. And, you know, that then I can add to or remove or, you know, do whatever I want with. And this kind of fits. I've been trying to squeeze a mind mapping program, and I love mind mapping programs, but I was trying to use them for sort of this, and it just didn't exactly work. And so I'm loving Xtiles. And I've been using it now for like 3 weeks. And honestly, I haven't found anything that it doesn't do that I want it to do in this space. You can color the tiles. You can format the tiles. If you want to make it look pretty, you can. I don't bother to make it look pretty. I just want to want it to be functional. But it lets you resize the tiles. So if you just need a little note tile, you know, you can do that within its grid. It has a grid, so it keeps things, again, nice and organized. You can type into a tile, and if you're typing into a tile and it needs more space, it'll expand all by itself so that then I can see, you know, what it is that I've put in. It's free to use. I think it's, what is it? I want to make sure I get this right. You can have one editor per workspace. You can have 1,000 blocks, which is going to be way more than anything I want, because I don't, and there are collaboration features that I'm probably never going to use. But so far I'm really loving this, and I would tell anybody, check this out if you find yourself, you know, struggling to keep things organized. I was kind of doing some of this in Apple Notes, but again, I love that because, again, you can take it all and move it off to the side or quit it and then pull it right back up. But this is a visual representation of that, where I can see more than one thing on the screen at any given moment. And so it's I'm not doing the best job of explaining it, but when I read it and saw this, like, okay, this is interesting. And the more I use it, the more I really have learned to love it.
That's really cool. I'm doing
a really cool app.
Some things sort of like this with Trello. And then I have other parts of what this does in OmniFocus, and then probably other parts of it in OmniOutliner. So yeah, that's kind of cool. It's a unified interface for all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Jeff, yeah. You mentioned Trello, and Trello was one that I had tried, and to sort of manipulate, you know, the way it does things to the way I wanted it to work. And I tried other Kanban tools. I've tried all the organizational tools, and it just never would let me do exactly what I wanted. You know, there was always a shortcoming to it. And so far, I haven't found a shortcoming to this for me. That doesn't mean it's right for you, but I would encourage you to look at it as a way to visually organize things for you.
It's very cool.
It does really look nice. Like, yeah, I have the same thing. Like, I have a lot of stuff in IA Writer and Notes, and then whatever I have in Safari, some stuff and so on. But I will have a look. That might be helpful.
Yeah, and listen, if anybody out there knows of anything else that competes the way in this space with it, I'd love to know what it is, because I haven't been able to find it. And this seems to fit everything I want to do. So, yeah, check it out.
Cool.
Anyway, I wanted to show that. That is my 14-inch MacBook Pro with like a really heavy, like bulky case. So that still fits. Could see the corners. So
it really is a bulky case.
Patrice,
but I got that for traveling, because
Patrice, hold that back up a second. Now turn it around the other way. See, I thought you were waving at me because it has X on it for X tiles, but I thought you were riffing on my, you know, what I was talking about.
Yeah, I should have done that. No, yeah. As I said, this is will be a cool thing in the future. Just saying, this still fits in the case. So.
Awesome.
Yes, I have dropped my work MacBook, like two work MacBook Pros, on concrete floors. So So, ooh, and damaged it. So I'm not, that's why I got this.
Yeah, good call.
Patrice, give me a link for that. Oh, hopefully sure. they have it in non-pink.
Yeah, there's like 5 or 10 colors. I'll find it for you.
Cool. All right, so I believe that means we are now up to my cool thing. My cool thing, I feel like I'm a little late to the game on this one. It's a Netflix series that came out in 2021, and it's called Inside Job. So it's an animated series. Each episode is like 25 minutes long. And the premise of the show is that all the conspiracy theory stuff that that people go on about, you know, like the moon landing being faked, lizard people, even the whole Lucifer thing at the airport here in Denver. There's even a reference to that. Anyhow, all of the conspiracy theory stuff is real, and there's a company that manages all of this. And that's what Inside Job is about. And the daughter of one of the, I guess, founders or people that runs the company, she's kind of in charge, and she has social issues, and the team of people that she works with, they all have different issues as well. So you have this very dysfunctional group of people dealing with issues surrounding all the conspiracy theories, and it's cute and it's fun. And since it's like a 25 minute long show, you get through episodes quickly, so you can just watch one while you're taking a little break, or just need to have something going while you're doing other things. It's just a fun little show. Christian Slater voices the father of the woman that's dysfunctional and trying to run at least part of the company. And anyhow, so there's some other known people that are voicing characters, and it's just a cute and funny little Netflix series. I can't believe I didn't know about it until now. I started watching it just a few days ago.
I haven't heard of this either, Jeff. This looks interesting. Mm. Just in an amusement kind of way.
Yeah, if you're looking for deep stories, this isn't what you're going to watch. But if you're looking for a series that pokes fun at conspiracy theories, then here you go. Like in one of the episodes, they have a mishap in the cloning lab, and like it's like walls and walls of all of these big glass tubes with people in them. And so there's like all of the Beatles and JFK and Elvis and anyhow, so just all of these clones of famous people lined up in the walls. So there you go, Netflix. All right, and with that, it's time to wrap up. So Chuck, where can people find you?
You can find me over at macvoices.com. That's where we're always talking to interesting people about interesting things in the Apple community. Just a few hours ago, as we record this, Charlotte Henry and I launched a new series within a series called TV Plus Talk, where we are covering Apple and the media, and specifically Apple TV Plus. She's going to be releasing it in her feeds for the edition. I'm going to be releasing it in Mac Voices. And we're still kind of working out how often it will appear. But based on some of the conversations earlier here, it seems like there's going to be plenty to talk about. So one more arrow in the quiver. And of course, we do Mac Voices Live with everybody here whenever they can all make it. Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time that is, wherever you are. On YouTube at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. And on the socials, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner or at Mac Voices, or both.
Awesome. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, I'm here every week on the Mac Show on Fridays, also the Big Show on Thursdays. Everything I'm doing, all the like social media content or social media links, the podcast, the projects, literally everything I'm doing, you can find on thepatrice.com. And I have two other related things that also are linked there. One is the techhangout.social. That is my Mastodon instance that I host and run and operate and all of that, like admin, whatever you want to call it. And it's a lot of fun. It's small. It's supposed to be small, but it's for let's say friends and acquaintances that I know. So if you're looking for a server, someone you trust, someone who doesn't sell your data and all of that, head over to techhangout.social. And Foodie Flashback is back. Took me awesome. A year. Took me a year to edit. Took me a year of, well, mostly procrastination, a lot of also other stuff. Yeah, there was some issue with that episode, and I never got the energy to deal with it. I finally did, and the episode is out. It's an awesome episode. It's just my audio was messed up because I picked the wrong microphone. Yes, that happens after 15 years. So episode 23 is out. Head over to foodieflashback.com.
Awesome. Excuse me. All right. And Ben, where can people find you?
Well, Jeff, you can find me right here, right now. But when I'm not here, right here, right now, you can find me at my website that may or may not be permanent, raythigtech.blogspot.com. You can also find me on the social media at Ben Raythig on your social media of choice, at least most of them. You can find me as a permanent contributor on Dave Ginberg's In Touch with iOS when neither of us is on vacation. Sometimes I sneak on Chuck's show. And you can also find me here every Thursday and Friday on the British Tech Network.
Awesome.
You should know that already because you should be watching all the episode.
Yes, sir. Right. There are quizzes.
Yes.
Yep. Excuse me.
So, Jeff, where can we find you?
Well, Ben, that's a great question. You can find me on the different social platforms as Jay Gamut. But if you actually want to see me doing something on a social platform, go to Instagram and Mastodon, because that's where I'm doing stuff. And then for shows, most Tuesdays, Chuck lets me join in on Mac Voices Live. Then on Thursdays, I'm here hosting the Big Show, still interim role. Just holding down the fort for Ewan. Then most Thursday evenings, Dave lets me join in Touch with iOS. And then back here on Fridays, doing more of Ewan's work and hosting the Mac show for him. And by the way, I'm not complaining. It's a treat to get to host these shows. Then I also do the Context Machine with Brian Chaffin. And yeah, that's it. And when I'm done here today, I am joining Mike Potter on for Mac Eyes Only. So that'll be fun. Yeah.
Cool.
That'll be fun.
And Chuck, did you mention that both of us are speaking at Mac Stock in July?
I did not.
Nice.
I did not. Yes, we will be.
Mm-hmm.
So MacStockConferenceAndExpo.com. Get your tickets now. It'll be Jeff. It'll be me. I know Allison Sheridan will be there. Ben, are you, was that a you?
I'm only 2.5 hours away from Mac Stock, so I don't have any excuse this year.
Okay. So,
that's
so
fair.
Ben will be there. Yeah. So come and join us. It's a phenomenal weekend. We always have a great, great time. And there'll be plenty of other people there whose names you will recognize, I'm sure.
Yep. It'll be a lot of fun. Right.
I wish I could be there.
That would be awesome. We would have a great time.
Yeah, I mean, if you could only get on a plane from Vienna to Chicago.
Well, I could, but I'm moving in July. So it's unfortunately not the best timing.
Yeah. It would be difficult timing. Yep.
Timing is everything. Yeah.
Yep. And speaking of timing, we're kind of out of it. So
do you know what time it is?
Yeah, does anybody really care?
Hammer time.
That's right.
No, tool time.
Tool time. Yeah. Okay. Thank you to all three of you for being just so awesome and making me smile and laugh today. You all rock. And I'm glad that we got to spend this time together. Everyone that's watching, listening live, regardless of whether or not you're participating in the chat room, thank you for being here and being part of the show today. You are all awesome. Everyone that watches or listens to the show later on, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. TSO hosts, thank you for being here and supporting us. Give them some online love. And then also, Muller, feel better soon. And thanks for making sure we have people for shows. Ewan, thank you just for being you. And with that, don't forget to tune in next Thursday for the big show. Join us again next Friday for the Mac show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.